Does this tune sound familiar? It's known as Bonaparte's Retreat, and it's become a popular selection for bluegrass and country music fiddlers. But researchers have traced the song's origins back to the late 1700s, around the time of Bonaparte's life and military adventures. Immigrants from England probably carried it with them across the Atlantic, but once in America, the tune began to mutate into many different forms, and it's still often heard today. Music scholar Stephen Wade says this recording from the Library of Congress collection was recorded in the 1930s by a little-known Kentucky musician known as Fiddler Bill Stepp. Wade says musicologist Ruth Seeger wrote about the tune in one of her books and transcribed Mr. Stepp's version.
What happened is shortly after the book came out, Aaron Copland was hired by Agnes DeMille, the choreographer, to do the music for her new ballet Rodeo. And he took note for note that transcription of Bill Stepp. And of course, he added his own wonderful setting around it. But still, with 40 concert violins and a xylophone and a woodblock playing all at once, you're still hearing Bill Stepp. And then that continues to translate out. So what's now one of the most popular pieces associated with Aaron Copland and used in the beef commercial, Beef It's What's for Dinner, and it's used in the Emerson, Lake & Palmer hit from the early 1970s, Hoedown. So it's just a part of the American soundscape now.
Stephen Wade's book features the stories behind this and 12 other American folk songs collected on the Library of Congress field recordings in the 1930s and 1940s. His book investigates the histories of these enduring songs, tracing them back to their roots as slave songs and spirituals, British ballads, and Southern work songs. The Library of Congress field recordings were collected by John and Alan Lomax and others traveling the southern highways and back roads with a large 300-pound recording device that cut the music directly onto discs. The researchers recorded wherever they found the performers, in churches, hotel rooms, prison yards, work sites, and front porches throughout the American South, from Appalachia to the Mississippi Delta and the Southern Plains. Most of the performers were unknown farm workers, railroad men, loggers, cowboys, housewives, and school kids. Stephen Wade says that's what he finds most compelling about these recordings, as opposed to those recorded in professional studios during the same period.
Being recorded in homes and in churches and where people dance and prisons, sometimes the sounds of those places seep into these recordings. You can hear dogs barking and roosters crowing, and sometimes a truck drives by or a neighbor interrupts while somebody's playing. And that's what attracted me so much in studying and in following up these recordings, that three-dimensionality that they possess, that sense of that life around them.
Wade cites the well-known folk standard Rock Island Line as another tune that has evolved and changed over the decades and influenced musicians in all genres. Through his research, Wade found that the Chicago, Rock Island, and Pacific Railroad encouraged its employees to write poems and songs that were used for promotion and advertising. He found the tune we know today in an edition of the company's employee magazine from the 1920s.
There were dozens and dozens of Rock Island Line songs and poems. There in the back of one particular issue, and there it was, buy your ticket over Rock Island Lines, and it named who wrote the song. He was an engine wiper. He worked at a railroad repair shop for the Rock Island Line in Little Rock. And Leadbelly, who was there when those two original recordings were made, took that song and then transformed it all his own. And it's from the Leadbelly recording that you get the Lonnie Donegan, and the Lonnie Donegan is what inspires John, Paul, and George each to individually take up the guitar.
Wade says this music is an integral part of the American experience, and he's made it his mission throughout his life to spread the word, especially to young people, about this rich tradition.
these stories speak, it seems to me, about the promise of American life. And this is a story of renewal. And this kind of creativity still goes on. And people find new forms in which to explore. And it's an ongoing thing.
Stephen Wade is bringing his one-man show to Central Kansas on Sunday for an appearance at Wilson High School as part of the Wilson Community Foundation's Musical Journey in Kansas series. For Kansas Public Radio, I'm Tom Parkinson.
I do love Johnny Gray. Mama love Johnny Gray. Papa love Johnny Gray. Everybody love Johnny Gray. Two little babies laying in bed, one play sick and one play dead. I do love Johnny Gray. I do love Johnny Gray. Ever since my dog been dead, hog been ruined, my tater bed. I